The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days, with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here is your host, Dr. Neil Nathan.
Welcome, welcome to the cutting edge of health and wellness today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I would like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, and Beyond Balance for making this program possible. Now, since I personally use these products daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of these products when appropriate. Now, we are live, so if you have questions for us during the program, feel free to call us at 1-866-472-5792. And I want to remind you that you can download the Voice America mobile app. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play Time, and Kindle, all for free. We now have our own Facebook page, so please go to the cutting edge of health and wellness today, like us and share us, and you can ask me questions on that site as well. So please feel free to go to that website and use it. I'd like you to all know that, yes, I am available for personal health consultations by phone. You can go to my website, which is www.neilnathanmd.com, and to arrange those consultations. Also wanted to let you all know that I have just put together a one-day symposium on mold toxicity, which we're going to hold on June 11th in Santa Rosa. So you can go to my website and look at seminars for more information. So with that, I would like to introduce to you my wonderful guest for today, and it is Amy Joy Smith. Amy is a nurse practitioner specializing in functional medicine. She's working currently at Pacific Frontier Medical Incorporated, which is a progressive integrative medical practice in Redwood City, California. While Amy is a renowned pioneer in the understanding and treatment of pandas and PANS, her work is more extensive than that and includes decades of work with patients with complex chronic illnesses and immune disruption. She's also a clinical nutritionist and the mother of an amazing child with pandas. Amy serves on the Pandas Network, technically the pandasnetwork.org board of directors, and was the lead organizer of the West Coast Pandas PANS Parent Symposium in both 2012 and 2014. She's spoken at numerous medical conferences, training programs around the country, and she also has a master's degree in adolescent health with a focus on youth development and community health, which she got from the University of Minnesota. So with that, I would love to introduce Amy Smith.
Hello. Boy, I sound really amazing.
Well, from everything I know, credentials. From everything I know, you are, so own it. how hard is that?
I know, so many incarnations, right, during the course of life.
Well, we've been working in similar paths for a long time, Amy, and mm-hmm. I'm really happy to have you on today because one of the subjects we really have not touched on much in the year and a half we've been doing this program is pandas and PANS. And mm-hmm. and I know that for a long time, people sort of thought this was a specialized area of pediatrics. And some of the listeners might be going, okay, Neil, you're talking about this. Why? Because we've recently realized that it is a way bigger subject than we really had any idea. And so the hope of this program, which is dedicated to introducing to the audience important health concerns that they may not have been aware of is to really help emphasize this.
Absolutely.
Great. So let's start with a couple of definitions. We have these pandas, and people go, well, surely you don't mean those cute little black and white cuddly things that eat bamboo leaves. And no, that's not what we mean.
No, pandas is definitely not cuddly.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
It stands for, just to give the, I'll give you the, we're going to keep using pandas and pans because the full name, as you'll see in a second, is really a mouth breaker. But pandas stands for pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorder associated with streptococcal infections.
Right.
That's easy.
Yeah, that is a mouthful.
It is. So pandas is why we use the term. And PANS, which is a newer designation and more global, stands for Pediatric Acute Onset Neuropsychiatric Syndrome.
Yes.
Okay. So with that out of the way, I don't have to play with those long terms anymore. Amy, perhaps you can introduce the audience to understanding what these are, perhaps a bit about how our understanding about these things have evolved.
Sure. PANDAS is really a subset or a category of PANS. PANS is, I think of it kind of like the mother category, the very top box, you know, at the top of the screen, and then little arrows can come down from PANS. So PANS is this big kind of category that encompasses acute onset, severe often, although not always, but usually pretty severe changes in a child's neuropsychiatric, emotional, or behavioral functioning. They are radically altered. Suddenly, it could be one day out of the blue. Very often, that is the story. A child wakes up different than they went to sleep, or something happens in the afternoon, and they just aren't functioning or behaving or acting like sometimes even the same person. So, but PANS can happen for a lot of reasons. For example, a little kid could get under the kitchen sink or into the garage or under the bathroom sink and drink rat poison, ant toxin, windshield wiper fluid. I mean, the kinds of things that kids can do. And those are toxic, right? So those can be neurotoxic. They could be out in a field and sprayed by pesticides or, you know, exposed to other things. So those are non-infectious triggers. Those are environmental potential triggers for something like PANS to occur, right? And also, some children might randomly have some inborn metabolic process surface. For example, diabetes, right? And that kind of a blood sugar plummeting can drain their brain of blood sugar, and they are going to act radically different. So those are two big reasons that something like PANS can occur. Then there's this other direction that PANS can occur, which is considered infection triggered. For example, some viruses like Coxsackie, Epstein-Barr, can directly cause, in rare cases, acute encephalitis. Actually, brain infections or meningitis, something like that. That can look the exact same way. It's going to change the way the child is thinking or acting or being. And then PANDAS is another way that infections can trigger PANS or these acute changes, right? So it's kind of like a category. one potential category under this big hub of acute changes in your child's functioning.
Yeah, to me, Amy, the central unifying theme of this whole process, it looks weird from the outside, like, okay, we have toxins that can do this, and we have infections that can do that. To me, the unifying theme here is inflammation, particularly inflammation of the brain, so that both of these can affect the brain in very, very similar ways. We've commented before on previous broadcasts how similar mold toxin and Bartonella is in terms of triggering very, very similar cognitive and mental issues. And I think that's what's happening here, too.
Without a doubt, there are, you know, a lot of different microbes that can cause it directly. What's interesting about PANDAS and why it's its own subgroup is because PANDAS, while it is triggered or associated with an strep infection, like strep throat or strep infection of a tissue, it's not a direct infection of the brain by the strep, the same way we might be talking about direct infection or invasion of the nervous system by Bartonella, right?
Yeah.
What happens with PANDAS is its own unique thing, and that's why if it's there, it ultimately kind of needs its own treatment. And it's very, very similar, Neil, to rheumatic fever. In fact, it's really based on the prototype or the process that rheumatic fever undergoes, which is not an infectious process like a strep throat, but a post-infectious. So usually, by the time rheumatic fever shows up, the strep is gone. It may not always be gone, but a lot of the times the body's already gotten rid of the strep. But the problem is that some strains of strep, not all strep, can do this, but there are some strains, and those are called rheumatic strains of strep. They can cause rheumatic fever. And in this situation, these bacteria have certain characteristics on their membranes, on their cell membranes, called surface proteins, that are really similar to human tissue. And so what ends up happening is, in these situations, that the antibodies against the strep, by mistake, attack the person's tissue. And that is rheumatic fever. So the mechanism, while it's autoimmune, is a unique mechanism that's called molecular mimicry. It's a trick of the bacteria.
Right. It means that the bacteria have confused our immune system. They look so close to our own pieces of protein that our immune system thinks, oh, that's an enemy. I got to go after that.
Yeah.
And they start to make antibodies to our to parts of us. In rheumatic fever, for example, they're attacking heart tissue, and in this case, they're going after brain tissue. So,
really,
what we're looking
at. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like friendly fire.
That's a nice way to put it. Although it doesn't seem so friendly to.
No, it isn't. But you know, it is. Well, friendly fire never is friendly, right?
Right.
But it's always a mistake. And in this case, it's a mistake. And so so that is how it occurs. And there have been, you know, you mentioned, you know, rheumatic fever, heart involvement for a long time. It can also happen in the kidneys and in the joints, right? And there has been an illness associated with the neurologic or brain manifestation of rheumatic fever for a long time called Sydenham's chorea. And that is considered the brain effect of rheumatic fever, and it causes children to have very exaggerated and uncontrollable movements when it hits. But included in that are also neuropsychiatric changes that precede this movement disorder, OCD, anxiety, behavioral changes that really match PANDAS. And so Dr. Sue Sweeto, in the very, very beginning, when she started to see this, thought, maybe this is just a variant of this Sydenham's chorea, and that's how the whole notion of PANDAS and the way that it gets treated and so on came to be.
And I want to come back to that so we can put this mm-hmm. back in context, but
sure.
But first, just for a moment, Amy, I want to mention one of our wonderful sponsors, and that is Researched Nutritionals, great sponsor of us for the whole time we've been around. Researched Nutritionals is really well known for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations that promote a healthier quality of life. They're well known for conducting clinical trials and research on their formulations, and we use these products really all the time. Today, I'd like to mention in the context of this program the use of a new product that they've had out for, 6 months to a year, called Cytoquel, C-Y-T-O-Q-U-E-L, which is really to help quiet down what we call inflammatory cytokine support, meaning cytokines are the chemicals that are setting off all these inflammations. And Cytoquel contains a very nice combination of a variety of materials, including EGCG, curcumin, turmeric, tocotrienols, and resveratrol, which together are a wonderful way to begin the process of quieting down some of these reactions. So I encourage our listeners to go to Research Nutritionals at researchnutritionals.com, or you can call them toll-free at 800-755-3402 for more information. And with that, let's go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
If you aren't tuning in to the Health Cure Show, there's something wrong with you. No, I mean there is really something wrong with you. Each week, host Nicholas St. John emphasizes one key word, prevention. What you need to do to stay healthy, and more importantly, how. You'll learn about fascinating research and new protocols for healthcare that you'll want to take back to your doctor, as well as share with your family, friends, and coworkers. Take charge of your health. Tune in Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I am delighted to be with Amy Joy Smith, who is an expert on pandas and pans, which we've been talking about. Kind of wanted, just to give a kind of mini perspective on how this evolved in my practice over the years, so that maybe Amy can then segue into explaining how common we realize this is. We started hearing about this back in the late 90s when we began seeing a few children who had the sudden onset of things like tics, which is odd little behaviors that made no sense, OCD behaviors, obsessive-compulsive, anxiety, intense emotional swings, separation anxiety, intense behaviors, eating disorders, both bulimia and anorexia, developmental changes, handwriting changes, just a wide variety of weird neurological stuff that came out of the blue that didn't make any sense. And originally, it was thought to be exclusively about strep, which was what Amy's been describing so nicely to us. And so our original treatments, which I did back in the late 90s, were really involved about controlling the strep bacteria. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But it's this broadening concept of PANS that is so important, because we're realizing now that that really was the tip of the iceberg in terms of this kind of a process. That was just how we began to understand it. Amy, maybe you can share with us how common it really is now known to be.
Well, with the National Institute of Mental Health and PANDASNetwork.org, ran some general numbers, and they looked at the latest CDC figures that say, first of all, one in five children in the United States has mental health problems. One in five. Okay. And then of that number, they figured out, you know, how many have OCD, which is primary manifestation of PANDAS and tics. Just using those two categories, they figured around 25%. So based on the studies that they've been doing. So that leaves us with about one in every 200 children in the United States struggling with PANDAS or PANS, which means immune-triggered brain inflammation, changing their thinking, their behavior, their emotional life, and possibly even their future, because most of these kids are undiagnosed or they're put into a behavioral category or a psychiatric category. And if you think about this in terms of how it compares to some of the more common chronic childhood illness, diabetes is 1 in 250, so it's more. Even all of childhood cancer is still 1 in 250. Cystic fibrosis is 1 in 3,700. Sickle cell anemia, 1 in 500. So, and these are things that have a lot of funds and a lot of school supports, you know, towards these other illnesses. And meanwhile, every school has at least one or more children with PANDAS, likely undiagnosed. Every Girl Scout troop, you know, every play group probably has a child with PANDAS. So it's pretty common.
Right. I'm really glad you've emphasized that, because we're not talking about something rare here. We're talking about something that you really want to be paying attention to. And let me add to that although the emphasis has been on children, we also know this affects adults. We also know that sometimes children become young adults, or even some of our older patients clearly have these same manifestations. So please don't think about it as solely a pediatric event. It's, I think, quite a bit more global than that.
Yeah, it definitely is because, and especially, you know, you and I, we deal with people with so much immune disruption and, you know, just some really serious infections and environmental triggers like mold, like what you were saying, and Lyme and Bartonella. Pandas, of course, you know, is still a unique entity. It is not a direct infection. It's rheumatic fever, really, of the brain. So, you know, it does require a little bit of a different approach. But I think that what can happen with pandas, and probably, you know, with pans, but definitely with pandas, is that the onset can just be missed. Because some kids can be so little that it just looks like the first time it happens, or even the second, or maybe even the third time, it just could look like they're having a bad week or a bad month. Because very often in the very beginning stages, the episodes are self-resolving for the most part. The brain is so resilient. You know, our body is always self-righting and always healing. So the first time, you know, these autoantibodies cross the blood-brain barrier and, you know, attack that brain, usually, you know, the body can self-resolve it, and they may act out or act differently for a couple of weeks or a month or, you know, 5 weeks. Madeline Cunningham has shown that the antibodies can last usually up to 50 days. And then the behaviors start to wane. And most of the time, early on, the child will go back to their baseline in the very beginning especially. So it could be that the bigger onset happens later. So it could seem like, you know, a child is more in their teens by the time it happens. I've also seen kids in their late teens and 20s that seem to have a later onset. But when we really talk about their history, there were little glimpses. You know, there were times of OCD or transient tics or, you know, unusual fears or compulsions, but they seem to just go away by themselves for a while until finally they just don't.
Yeah, your basic, like, mini meltdown, which most kids have from time to time, so...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can look like just a prolonged mini meltdown. And then I've also worked with a number of parents who are parents of children with pandas. And, you know, it's unknown at this point, but, you know, there is some genetic component at work because about 12% of children with pandas have siblings with pandas. And so many of the adults of children with pandas, they might say, I had it, I know I had it when I was younger, and I still maybe get anxiety, or I still have residual OCD, and especially when I get sick now as an adult. But, you know, they deal with it.
Right, and that would make sense, because if you were mostly resolved, but you had a sudden onset of cytokine release caused by getting a flu or a virus, it would make sense that that would trigger exactly that.
Yes, exactly. So finding it earlier and treating it properly earlier, the better. Kids just get better. Their brain heals and they move on.
Okay, so let's dig in. We'll be taking a break in just a minute, but why don't we launch into, okay, if we think this might be happening, what kind of testing can we do to begin to understand that we might be dealing with pandas or PANS?
There are a few things that you can do right off the bat. And sometimes you might have to find, if you really think that this is happening, and if you find that your pediatrician isn't certain or on board or doesn't know how to test or treat, I would suggest, first of all, finding somebody that does, that can either work or talk with your physician, or you could go to pandasnetwork.org. They have an extensive website of information you can download and give your provider in the event they're not familiar with PANDAS, because it's still early in that game and many providers aren't that familiar with it yet. And there's also a provider list in case you need to go that route. But assuming that you find somebody that is willing and able to do testing for you, what I usually do is, in addition to basic chemistry and immune markers, looking for infection and inflammation, I always do a throat culture on the entire family. And on the child, I will, and not just a strep culture, but an actual throat culture that looks at all the different bacteria, different strains of strep. And I also usually do a nasal culture and a Marcon's test in the child that's being worked up for PANDAS. In terms of blood testing, I look for strep, mycoplasma, and viruses. At the minimum, I also take a very, very extensive and thorough history of that child, what they do, how this started, when this may have started, any potential exposures that they may have had or gotten into, depending on the age and how they live and where they live. Sometime we need to test for chemicals or heavy metals, based on their history. And I very often will also look at Lyme and co-infections. And I always also, for me, because I take an integrative approach, I always do a stool test because there can be strep that you don't find in the throat. And some children don't produce antibodies to strep in terms of the known ones that we know how to test for, you know, the ASO titer and the DNase, anti-DNase B, mm-hmm. are the two primary ones that are tested for. But even with children with known strep infections, I'm trying to think of where I just saw this study. I'm so sorry I don't have a citation, but I can give it to you if you want. I can look it up. At least 25% of the children with known strep and retested 6 to 8 weeks later, still had no rise in strep antibody titers. So you can't go by that.
Right. I think I want to come back to that in a moment and augment mm-hmm. that. But first, let me talk about one of our sponsors, and that would be Beyond Balance. Beyond Balance, located in Rohnert Park, Northern California, just a hop, skip, and jump down from my office. They've been making a wide array of really good healing tinctures for quite some time. In the context of today's program, I wanted to mention one particularly called MC Reginato, R-E-G-E-N-A-T-O, which is a combination of herbal materials in a glycerin tincture, which is specifically designed to balance and regulate immune function in those with immune dysregulation. It's a really, really good product that we've used for a long time to help us in this particular arena. So that's MC Reginato, and the company is Beyond Balance, which you can communicate with looking at their website at www.beyondbalanceinc.com, or you can call them at 800-332-7713. And with that, we'll go to another break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
When a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer, it's probably the most frightening thing that's ever happened to her. Friends and family often don't know what to do for support, not to mention the patient herself. That's where Breast Friends Cancer Support Radio comes in. Join Becky Olson and Sharon Hennepin, breast cancer survivors and advocates. They help by providing inspiration, information, and most of all, hope. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I am delighted to be with Amy Joy Smith, and we're talking about the really important and misunderstood illnesses of pandas and PANS. And before we went to a break, Amy was talking about how the normal tests that even pediatricians might be aware of that might do to make the diagnosis aren't that accurate. I just recently looked up a study before this program showing that in patients, as Amy was saying, who had known strep exposure, only 54% will have an elevated ASO titer, which is a measure of having antibodies to strep, and only 45% will have the other test, which is DNase-B. And I think this reflects the fact that this illness is an illness of dysregulation of the immune system. So that means the immune system doesn't operate normally. So here we are trying to use immune tests, which are not at full capacity. And by definition, these very same folks can't react normally. We have to take that into account as we look at their testing. So, Amy, there's a couple of really newer and really important tests that can really help nail down the diagnosis here. By that, I'm referring to the Cunningham panel and maybe measuring IgGs. So let's dig into that.
Okie doke. So the Cunningham panel is really the closest thing that we have to discerning whether or not somebody has PANDAS or PANS. And I just have to preface that with PANDAS is it's a clinical diagnosis, like Lyme. And what that means is that because you may not always find it on lab markers for a number of varying reasons, like what Neil was talking about, immune dysregulation, or you could miss the antibodies because you're testing too far afterwards by the time the child gets in and you're actually running the test, you can miss it, even on the Cunningham. So because of that, it's really up to the provider, you know, to listen to the story, look at the child, and make the call whether they think it's PANDAS or not. So I just wanted to say that. But the Cunningham panel is really been a godsend. It is run by a lab called Molecularia at the University of Oklahoma, which is Madeline Cunningham's lab. And she has been in on trying to discern PANDAS and see if it even fits that rheumatic fever model we were talking about very early on before it was ever called PANDAS. Susweta was trying to figure out if, you know, Madeline, who'd been working in strep and was the person who found the autoantibodies related to the rheumatic heart disease, if she could find something similar with PANDAS children in the brain. And so Dr. Cunningham was, in fact, able to find four antibodies highly associated with strep in, you know, well over 1,500 people at this point, probably even more. And, you know, all of her studies are well documented. So she has found four autoantibodies. That means antibodies in the brain attacking normal brain tissue, four different types of normal brain tissue. And she also found an increase in an enzyme called CAM kinase. And CAM kinase upregulates, raises the levels of neurotransmitters, just like dopamine, in the brain. And two of these antibodies are against dopamine receptors in the brain. So, so dopamine, this rise in dopamine, is very highly associated with the exact types of symptoms that PANDAS children exhibit in terms of their behavior and the OCD and profound anxiety and food dysregulation. There are another couple of antibodies, one called antitubulin and anti-lysoganglioside, that tend to be more associated, the lysoganglioside, with chorea, tick form, tick types of movements, is associated with Sydenham's chorea. And tubulin also with some movement disorders, as well as cognitive disruption, executive functioning disruption. So it definitely hangs with the symptoms.
Dopamine is the brain function, and if you're making an antibody that affects the dopamine receptors, we're really messing with neurotransmitter function globally, because never just dopamine. There's a very, very profound interwoven relationship between dopamine and serotonin and epinephrine and norepinephrine. And,
glutamate,
and off we go. So you can imagine that if you're making antibodies to these absolutely key brain tissues, it's not a shock that we're getting this kinds of behavioral changes.
No, this is brain on fire.
Yep.
That's what this is. Yeah, these kids have no way to manage whatsoever the intensity of the firing that their nervous system is putting them through. It's a brain on fire. And that's what it is. It's acute inflammation of a part of the brain called the basal ganglia that is a signaling area known to affect cognitive mood and movement.
Okay, so now we have ways that we can actually diagnose this. We have ways that we can appreciate that this is happening. How do we treat it?
That kind of depends a little bit who you talk to, but you know, I think that the guts of PANDAS treatment, once you have figured out that that's what you're dealing with, to me, it spans some very basic principles, and I'll just tell you what the principles are to me. Number one is identify and treat the infection. So you're dealing with strep, but very often I see multitude of other infections as well. It could be yeast or mold, or there could be mold issues, but very often there's some viruses or mycoplasma infections. I tend to believe that because this is infection triggered, the more that you can untangle and treat these infections, the less immune triggering you're going to have. So number one is treat the infections. Number two, you have to reduce the inflammation. That brain is inflamed, and reducing that is very, very critical, not only to managing the symptoms, but to the health of the brain. And there's a number of ways of going about that. Sometimes the simplest thing with PANDAS kids, which is ibuprofen and NSAIDs, and I know that's not very integrative, but it's very powerful. And actually, it is integrative. An integrative solution to me includes natural products and compounds, as well as well-utilized medications. And so it really takes an integrative approach to handle this. The ibuprofen and the NSAIDs work remarkably well in PANDAS children. Sometimes I will actually have a parent use that as a test to even see if their child does or does not have PANDAS while they're waiting to bring them in. It's more subtle than that. It can't actually say whether or not they have PANDAS, but sometimes a child's OCD will go down substantially on a good dose of ibuprofen, and that is not what garden variety OCD does, right? So it does give some clues that the child's behavior is, in fact, inflammation-driven. Also, some of the things you talked about earlier, like there are wonderful herbal anti-inflammatory products out there, and I use the gamut of them, herbs, homeopathics. I use a lot of oils, omega-3s, and phospholipids to stabilize the cell membranes, which can reduce inflammation. And then I look at global inflammation in their homes and their lifestyles. Sometimes you have to reduce allergens, clean up the diet, those kinds of things. Often, I don't want to say... I guess I can call it often in children, once I get the testing back and I am pretty certain they don't have a hidden infection like Lyme or Bartonella, sometimes I will do a 5-day steroid burst using oral prednisone if their inflammation is profound, because my real allegiance is to protecting their brain. And so prednisone can radically reduce prednisone, cortisone. It's really our most powerful anti-inflammatory medicine that we have. So I will use that in the short run to, you know, bring a child back down from the rafters. And sometimes I'll also use low-dose naltrexone type of a medication, you know, for immune inflammation reduction while we're working on cleaning up the terrain.
Interrupt just for a moment, Amy, just to echo that this might not sound holistic, but I agree with you. Holistic is using the safest, best products that we can for the health of the people that are in our care. So I want to emphasize that. And I also want to take a little break before we complete this discussion. So hold on for a minute, and let's go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Can grief be good for you? Absolutely. It gets your attention, helping you evaluate your choices and relationships. Your losses define who you are. Tune in each week for Good Grief with host Cheryl Jones. Our show features those who have made incredible transformations by grieving their losses. You'll learn how to find your courage and strength. You'll discover the important things in your life and how to let go of things that are less important. Good Grief airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Abre mi corazón.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I am with Amy Joy Smith, and we are continuing our discussion about how to treat the very important infections of pans and pandas. So, Amy, you were giving a very nice overview of looking specifically for which infection is involved, treating those infections, looking at inflammation globally. So let's continue from there.
Sure. My next step, which is really happens all at the same time, and I think is really the pith or the center of what distinguishes integrative medicine, is what I would call clean up the terrain. And I think probably people listening to your radio show have heard that term. And that means address imbalances, both either habitual or digestive tract or detoxification pathways, correct nutrient deficiencies, clean up heavy metals if that's what's there, like look at the whole person and optimize every system that you possibly can. So that's what I mean by clean up the terrain. And then the next, so that happens as part of the whole thing, so that you're really changing the environment in which this whole thing takes place. And maybe you can even get those genes turned off, and that's a whole another discussion, right? And then the next really important component of dealing with PANDAS is that immune modulation piece. And Neil talked about using an herb, the MC Reginato, which does have immune modulating properties. And I've certainly used that to some degree with PANDAS children. But sometimes you have to go a lot bigger guns than that, because some of these children become psychiatric cripples. They can starve themselves to death. And it's not typical anorexia because they think they look fat. It could be OCD or fear of choking, or they believe the food is contaminated, or there's some other off-the-wall kind of a reason why they're not eating. That's a dangerous situation. Some of these kids can't even leave their bedroom. They're OCD. They can't get dressed in the morning. They can't walk, or they have to touch everything a certain way. They can become psychiatric cripples. And it's a gradient. Not all kids are like that, but it can be a profound disruption of that child and their family's ability to function. And then we use bigger guns. We use something called plasmapheresis or plasma exchange, where the harmful autoantibodies are filtered out of the blood, almost like dialysis of the blood, that instead of taking out the bad stuff, you know, like for kidney dialysis, it takes out the bad antibodies and puts either the plasma back in or just some proteins. So that can lead to a dramatic reduction in the symptoms. When the antibodies are gone, that child can get better just sitting there in the chair. Very dramatic. And then we also use intravenous immunoglobulin therapy, or IVIG. Many people have had that around the planet for hundreds of reasons of immune disruption, autoimmune illness, and it works really well for pandas. I think it kind of resets the immune system. It pushes a whole bunch of those bad antibodies out and brings in some fresh antibody raw material. And I believe that as long as you, for the most part, have the infections under treatment that were causing the bad antibodies, then the IVIG has a chance to kind of come on through and clean things out and reset the immune system. So those are really important. There's also a interesting study that shows that a lot of these kids have terrible things in their tonsils, including autoimmune cytokines that have been found in pandas children's tonsils and not in regular tonsils, Th17-based cytokines, which are those chemical messengers that cause autoimmune illness. So some of these kids really need tonsillectomy as well.
That means, Amy, that this has been an absolutely super clear, wonderful discussion of this very, very important subject. We're just about out of time at this particular point, but I really appreciate your coming on board and helping people to understand how common this is. And it's the kind of thing that they do want to get online and start reading about and learning about, so that if any one of their loved ones or family are affected, they can begin to give them the help that they so badly need. So once again, Amy, thank you so much for coming on today and talking
with
us.
You're so welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome.
I'm supporting all those people out there all the time. Thank you so much for everything you're doing.
And next week, not next week, but sometime in March, I'll give you all a heads up. I'll be having John Banta on as my next guest. John is an expert on mold remediation, and so many of you have called in with questions about how to fix houses and how do you do that and what are the, how do you evaluate it, and I think it's time for us to do that next time. So next live show with John Banta, and once again, Amy, thank you so much, and for everyone out there, be well.
Thank you again for joining us for the Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.